Now, reminding you again in that Philippians this morning, I would like to repeat again that verse which I have read on particularly verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Dearly beloved, let me say before you this morning that nothing is clearer in the New Testament than the fact that the Lord Jesus expects us to take the humble position of servants. This is not just an extra obligation which we may take or leave as we please. This is not just an extra thing to reconsider at this very moment, but it's something that we must take heed this morning. It is the very heart of that new relationship which the disciple is to take up with respect to God and to their fellow disciples and to us as well as God's redeemed people. If he is, or we are to know the fellowship with Christ and any degree of holiness in our lives that we might experience, when we understand the humbling and self-emptying that is involved in being a true servant, it becomes evident that only those who are prepared to live under the shadow of Calvary, contemplating the humility and brokenness of the Lord Jesus, will be willing to accept such a position. As we approach this subject and its personal application in our lives, there are three preliminary things which needs to be said to prepare us to understand the low and humbling position that he wants us to take this morning. In the Old Testament, there are two sorts of servant mentioned. There are the hired servants who have wages paid to them and have certain rights. Then there are the bond servants or slaves who have no rights at all, who receives no wages even, and have no right of appeal in any court of law. The Hebrews were forbidden to make bond servants of their own group or of their own race. They were only permitted to take such slaves from the Gentiles. When, however, we come to the New Testament, the word in Greek for servant of the Lord is not hired servants, but bond servant. This means that our position is one where we have no rights and no chance to appeal, where we are the absolute property of our master, to be treated and disposed of just as he wishes. Further, we shall see even more clearly what our position is to be when we understand that we are to be bondservants of one who was himself willing to be a bondservant. The following scriptures reveal the amazing humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant. And that is in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. He was without rights, willing to be treated as the will of the Father and the malice of man might decree, for the purpose of serving men and bringing them back to God. And you and I are to be bondservants of him who remain a bondservant, whose disposition is always that of humility and whose activity is the humbling of himself to serve the ones he had created and redeemed. How very low then is our true position? How this show us what it means to be ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ in this respect. This leads us on to something even farther. Our servanthood to the Lord Jesus Christ is to express itself in our servanthood to our fellow men and our fellow believers. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The humility we adopt in relation to the Lord is judged by the humility that we display in our relationship with others. If we are unwilling to serve others in costly and humbling ways, he considers us to be unwilling to serve him. In this way, we put ourselves out of fellowship with him. We are now in a position to apply all this more personally to our lives. God spoke to me some time ago through Gospel of Luke 17:7-10, which says, suppose one of you had servant flowing or looking after the sheep, would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourselves ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Dearly beloved, there are 5 marks of the servant or of the bond servant we are going to talk about and meditate this morning. Let me state the first one, the marks of bond servant. First, he must be willing to have one thing on top of another put on him without being given any consideration. On top of a hard day in the field, the servant in the parable had immediately prepared his master's meal and even then served it to him, all before he was allowed any food himself. He just went and did it, expecting nothing else. How unwilling we are for this to happen to us. How quickly there are murmurings, and bitterness in our hearts when that sort of thing is expected of us. But the moment we start murmuring, we are acting as though we had rights and a bond servant doesn't have any. Secondly, in doing this, you must be willing not to be thanked for, not to receive any thanks or appreciation. How many times we serve others with self-pity in our hearts and then complain bitterly when they take it for granted and do not thank us for it. You know what I'm talking about when people are expressing their ingratitude for things well done. But a bond servant must be willing to accept that. Hired servant may expect something, but not bond servants. Thirdly, he must not accuse others of selfishness. Although the master in the passage was rather selfish or inconsiderate, there is no such accusation from the bond servant. He exists to serve interests or the interest of his master and nothing else. He is bound to that duty every day of his servanthood and doing all these duties to please his master. And the selfishness or otherwise of his master is not his concern. But what about us? We can perhaps allow ourselves to be put upon by others and are even willing not to be thankful for, not to be willing to be thankful for what we do, yet how we accuse the other in our minds of selfishness. But that is not the place of the bond servant who is to find in the selfishness of others further opportunity to identify with his Lord as the servant of all. And the fourth step which we must take as a good mark of being a servant is that there is no ground for pride or self-congratulations. We must confess that we are unworthy servants. That is, that we are of no real use to God or man in ourselves. We must confess again and again that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. If we have acted as bond servant, it is not due to us. We, whose hearts are naturally proud and stubborn, but only to the Lord Jesus, who dwells in us and who made us willing. The knockout blow to self is dealt by the fifth and final step, we must admit that in acting and enduring with meekness and humility, we have not done one iota more than it was our duty to do. God made man in the first place simply that he might be his bond servant. Man's sin has simply consisted of his continuous refusal to be God's bond servant. Therefore, his restoration can only be a restoration to the position of a bond servant. Man has not done anything particularly praiseworthy when he agrees to accept such a position, for he was created and redeemed for that very place and purpose. That is the way of the cross. It is the way that God's only Son, the first lowly bond servant, first trod for us. Should not we, the bond servants of that bond servant, tread it still? Does it seem hard and foreboding this way? Be assured, it is only the way up in being a bond servant. It was the way by which the Lord Jesus reached the throne, and it is the way by which we too reach the place of spiritual power, authority, and fruitfulness. Those who tread this path are very radiant, happy souls, overflowing with the life of their Lord. They have found that he that humbles himself shall be exalted. It's always true for them as for their Lord. Humility and repentance thus becomes a way of life. This is the life of a true bond servant. There is always a life in an activity of humility and repentance. He is always ready to look unto his Lord for cleansing and repentance of sin. We shall not enter into more abundant life merely resolving to be more humble in the future. We must first repent of past attitudes and actions which still persist in the form of refusal to be conformed to the will of God in calling us his bond servant. Even our unwillingness to apologize for them. And this is the hard part of it. The Lord Jesus did not take that very nature of a servant merely to give us as an example alone, but so that he might die for these very sins upon the cross and open a mountain or a fountain of his precious blood where they can all be washed away. But that blood cannot be applied to the sins of our proud hearts until we have been broken in repentance over what has happened and over what we are already. This is a total honesty of the heart to confess what we are. At best, we are unprofitable servants. It's being echoed in many prayers. even leaders of the church. We are supposed to confess that before God. At best, we are unprofitable servants. And by His grace, He helped us to regroup ourselves, to let God to motivate us day by day under His guidance and the promises of His holy words in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This will mean allowing the light of God to go through every part of our hearts when we express repentance of our sins and asking forgiveness and failing to be the right kind of a bond servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. It must affect every fiber of our minds and every part of our lives and our hearts, and into the very every part of our relationships, not only with God, but with our fellow believers and our outside of our churches, with our friends and various people that God brings along to show that servanthood in behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. And finally, it will mean that we shall have to see the sins of pride as well, the sins of pride, which God will show us, which made it necessary for the Lord Jesus to come down from heaven and die on the cross, that we might be forgiven. It will also mean not only asking Him to forgive us, but by asking others as well to forgive us. When we displease other people, when we offend them, but by failing to show what is required of a bond servant. Because being a bond servant, we all, in all humility, and other reality of humility, character of a servant, if that does not show along the way, we must continually not only ask forgiveness to God and failing others to meet those needs as a servant, we must be ready to say our apology and our sincerity to rectify our mistakes and our failures. It will mean not only asking Him to forgive us, as I said, but asking others also. That will be humbling indeed. That's the very difficult aspect. We must be willing to be humbled before God. And so, as we persevere forward through the door of the broken one, we shall emerge into the light and glory of the path of holiness and humility. May God bless us in giving us this eye-opener to be a faithful bond servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are yet to be saved and got the desire to serve, we must first meet that standard of confessing our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to rule our lives as personal Lord and Savior. And then the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ to be a servant will come next. And that is the normal process of being a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us and keep us and motivate us. Amen.